I believe there's so much more that God wants to do here tonight. Oh, God. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. As we were singing and as we were having good move of God down here in the front and all across the building, I really got to thinking to myself that I wonder how many people really got exactly what they needed tonight. Exactly what you needed, whether it's deliverance, healing, a miracle, whatever. I really wonder if you really got everything that you need tonight. If I'm not careful, I'm going to end up getting into my message. But God has a work he wants to do. But we got to let him. We got to step out by faith. Sometimes it's not easy because I'm about to get into it already, but there's a spirit of oppression that wants to hover over us, that wants to keep us from getting what we want, getting what we need, getting to the place where God wants to take us. It'll oppress us. It holds us. It keeps us back. And I believe God wants to deliver us from that tonight. I believe if you have a need that you need delivered from tonight, I believe God's going to take care of it. I believe tonight is going to be enough is enough. Enough is enough. Hallelujah. And turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 13. And we're going to be going first to verse 4. And the Bible says, "And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him. For he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them." Skipping to verse 14. It says, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians of Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hadst smite Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Amen. With the help of the Lord tonight, I just want to preach to you one title message, and that is deliverance. Deliverance in Jesus' name. Let's put our Bibles down and let's ask God to move here in the remainder of this service. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, God. Of Jesus, God, let there be a liberty, let there be a freedom here in this service, God. Open our ears and our hearts, God, and let us be quick to respond how you need us to respond. God, move here, we'll be quick to give you all the praise and glory for it. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. We know that coming to church, this is a spiritual matter. Or at least it should be. We shouldn't be just coming here for the fellowship. We shouldn't just be coming here to hang out and play games and just to see one another on a weekly basis. That ought not need to be our first priority. It's a very good perk of being in church. We have much friends. We have great fellowship. We have fun times. And it's much needed. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in breaking of bread in the apostle doctrine. That it is important that we fellowship. However, being that is not our first necessity. Our first necessity has got to be our own salvation. Necessity is being saved, being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. It's not anybody else's obligation. It's not your mom's, your dad's, your grandparents. It's your own self. You are responsible for your own soul. Jesus' name. There's no other way of getting into heaven. We can't confess our sins to some priest and he tell us go to do whatever it might be. And then we have a happy day and we're all fine. There's no just saying, oh God, you're my personal savior and you're saved. No, the only way to be saved is the Bible way. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This, you must first repent. You must repent. But repenting is not the only way. You don't just stop at repentance and you call it good. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is the only saving name that is out there. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to thinking about this, and I was there's a place in the Bible where it talks about, and God forgave the man's sin, the lame man that they let down through the roof. And people like immediately mocked him. Can the only person that forgives sins is God? And God's like, I mean, you're right, but he goes, what is easier, to forgive sins or tell him to take up his bed and walk? In essence, but that they did not know that that was God. That was Jesus. He had the capability to save them from their sins. There's no other name that's going to save you from your sins. There's no other titles that are going to save you from your sins. If that's the case, then being baptized in another name or another title is not going to wash your sins away. It is the name of Jesus that will save you from this present world. Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus' name. It is important that we also stay prayed through. We can't just come here and just be filled with the Holy Ghost once and then all of a sudden, hey, we're good. We're great to go. But we must get it over and over and over again. Pastor preached a message. I don't remember how long it's been, but he preached, how you got it is how you keep it. If you got the Holy Ghost by fighting in this altar, you're going to keep the Holy Ghost by fighting in this altar. If you got the Holy Ghost scraping for every inch, that's how you're going to keep the Holy Ghost. You can't keep it by just saying, oh God, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name, it is important that we stay prayed through. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Some people say, once saved, you're always saved. But I have a question for them that generally confounds me. Like, how is that the case? Because the Bible clearly says, neither fornicator, nor adulterer, nor no idolater, none of this shall enter in the kingdom of God. So if we've been saved, but yet we go commit adultery or fornication, the Bible clearly says you're not going into the kingdom of God. I don't care if you've gotten the Holy Ghost. You're not going to heaven if you commit that sin. I just don't understand that. But that is why repentance is a necessary daily matter. Necessarily daily matter. But we know in all of this that we are in a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This is going to be my angle for the rest of the night. But sometimes it's so hard to get distracted. Sometimes it's so hard to get our minds upon the fleshly matters. But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Ephesians chapter number 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't war after the flesh. These powers are demonic powers that control the subliminal world. These powers are the ones that rule what we cannot see. They're the ones that hound us day in and day night. Hounding these, their objectives is to get you to go to hell. Their objectives is to keep you from making it to heaven. But their objectives also is if you're praying, I don't want that prayer to be answered, Brother Gavin. If you're praying, I'm going to do everything in my power to keep your prayer from reaching God. That's their objective. They want to control. They want to hound you. They want to put pressure on you. They want to hurt you, hurt your spiritual life, and destroy you. The Bible says that he has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's not good enough to steal what you've got. It's not good enough just to kill what you've got. But he wants to wipe you out until you are completely unrecognizable. It is their job to hinder your prayers from getting answered. These spirits are going to cause fear around you. These spirits are going to cause you to be scared to even step out by faith. Spirits of fear, spirits of lying, spirits of your past that are going to haunt you. The spirits of fear, I have felt it so much, so many times in my past, in the past years that I've been serving God. But they just hound you. I dare you. It's there. They just sit over. See, I dare you to step out by faith. I dare you to take a step of faith. If you want your move, you want a move of God, you can come up. But I tell you, I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm going to hound you. I'm going to make it to where your family's going to turn into a mess. I will make you lose your job. I'll make you do what I will do whatever it takes just so you won't get down in that altar. There's spirits of fear. Spirits of fear. Jesus' name. Oh, can we love God right now? Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we can't take this battle lightly, church. This ain't something that we can just take on once every service. We can't just say, hey, Sunday night, I'm good for the rest of the week. Because these spirits, they war day and night. They don't take it lightly. That is their job. They know their destination. They know that they are destined to a lake of fire for the rest of their lives. It's their objective to pull you with them because you have another opportunity. You have the capability to make it to heaven. And they're going to sit there and they're going to pull you. They're going to woo you. Hey, they don't want you to make it. They don't want you to get your answer. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. This is why it's important to have the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We'll get back to that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. This is why prayer is so important. This is why Pastor has been pushing prayer. This is why I have tried helping, teaching you young people about how to pray and the importance of prayer. Because this is a spiritual battle. It is the sword of the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit. Your prayer is how you're going to war in the Spirit. Your prayer is how you're going to fight those spirits. It's how you're going to tear down their strongholds. In Jesus' name. This is why pre-service prayer is such a detrimental aspect to this church. This is why it is so important, because the devil would love nothing but to hold this church back. He would love nothing but to keep you from having a move of God. But that's where pre-service prayer comes in. It's battling in the spirit. God, we got to have a good move of God tonight. I bind every spirit of hell that wants to quench this church, that wants to quench this service. It's the praying in the spirit, in faith. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we desire to see some changes in our lives, we need to start warring through prayer. This is why it is so important. There are multiple kinds of spirits that war against us. And this is kind of where I'm getting to where I want to go. But there are lying spirits that lurk around lying to you, telling you, hey, you're not good enough. You're not even good enough to be in church. You're not even important. There's no way God will ever save you. You've done too many bad things that God will never forgive you. They're lying spirits. Lying, just hounding you, telling you lies, feeding you lies, feeding you stuff that you can't even, I can't get past this. But those are spirits of lying, spirits of lying. There are spirits of your past that also coincide with the spirits of lying. But the spirits of your past are going to come back, consistently reminding you of everything that you've done. Hey, you remember what you looked at the other day? I don't think you deserve to be jumping in the front. I don't think you deserve to be worshiping God. Hey, you remember that music you were listening to the other day? You remember that dirty joke you laughed at? I don't think you deserve to be worshiping God. They're spirits of your past hounding. The Bible says there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Spirits of your past and lying spirits hounding you, Jesus' name. God. We already talked about the spirit of fear, but they sit around daring you to take a step by faith in response to what God is telling you. They sit around daring you to pray one more time. The minute that you do, they're going to attack you. But there was one area that I really felt and that I thought about. The spirits of fear, spirits of oppression, sin, daring New Life Tabernacle. I dare you have one more 3-hour prayer service. I dare you pray to midnight one more time and see what I won't do to your church. But God, that doesn't end there. God has victory in all things. Those are spirits of oppression that God wants to destroy tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've come to tell you that tonight is complete deliverance. Complete deliverance. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I'm going to tell you about a couple examples. But in 1 Samuel, the Bible talks to us about an oppressor named Goliath. We've all heard about David and Goliath, but how Goliath would come out and he oppressed the children of Israel for 40 days. 40 days, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man with me, that he may come down. If ye be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There's the spirit of fear right there. They were greatly afraid. The Bible already talks about how Saul was head and shoulders above all. But yet an oppressor just steps out and he just dares him. Just, I defy your army. In Goliath's mind, there was no doubt that he was going to win. That's why he put such high stakes on the battle. He goes, I have no doubt this victory is mine. And then Saul, head and shoulders, he was attacked by the spirit of fear, by spirits of oppression hound. Hey, you can't do this, Saul. You can't do this. You're not a mighty man. You can't do this. Twice a day for 40 days, Goliath would come out asking for a man to fight, daring somebody just to come out. until David arrived one day. David stepped on the scene, and all it took David was that one time, and David was fed up. Who is this man? This man defies the armies of God. There was multiple men fighting. They were supposed to be warriors, but a young teenage boy, something got fed up in him. He's like, no, this man will not defy my God. And we all know the rest of the story, how David went and he got him five little stones. And he stepped out and he told Goliath, he said, you come at me with a sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And we know how David dropped Goliath. And Goliath hit face first right into there. And people will think, oh, that is great. That is good. Oppression, done. Oh, you don't know that though. Because as we read, Joash thought, twice, three times, three smites. That's good enough. And it talks about how the prophet was mad. He said, you should have smote five or six times. David was fed up. He said, this man defied the armies of Israel. In verse 22, verse 51, it says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. There was no more oppression. The oppression was completely erased. The oppression was completely destroyed, decapitated right there. No more to the spirit of depression. Oh, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on. It's not good enough just to take care of it once or twice. You got to completely destroy it. You got to completely get it out of your life. Sometimes it takes beating it over and over, but you got to get rid of that oppression. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. It's hounded you long enough, church. It's hounded each of you. That spirit, I don't care what it is. If it's your past, if it's fear, it's hounded you long enough. It's time to get up and beat it out. Woo! Jesus' name. Jesus' name, in Jesus. I'm going to tell you all about Jehu. Jehu was just anointed king, but there was a lot of people. Syria had Israel entrapped. They had them oppressed. They were oppressed, and God anointed Jehu to deliver them from their oppressors. Jehu, the minute he was anointed, he said, it's time to get down to business. I have had enough of my oppressors. I have had enough, and I am sick of being oppressed. And Jehu got in his chariot and he started riding toward the palace. Matter of fact, the Bible says he was driving furiously. He was driving furiously. Kind of reminds me of Sister Pam. He was driving furiously. Amen. But the Bible, he was driving fiercely. He was like a madman. He had a destination. He had a place to get to. He had something upon his mind. And he's like, I am taking care of my oppressors right now. Right now, I am going to get rid of them. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says that they saw him coming from afar off, and they started sending servants like, oh, man, hey, King, he's driving furiously. You might want to see what's up. And they sent a servant out, and the servant was like, is it peace? Jehu just looked down, and he said, get out of my way. You get behind me. And all of a sudden, the servant didn't come back. And the king's like, what's going on? He said, send another man out. And they sent another man out, and Jehu, he said, is it peace? Jehu said, get out of my way. I've got an objective. I've got my mind made up. This has been long enough. This has been way too long. And the servant left. Finally, the king manned up, and he said, I'm going to go see myself. Prepare a chariot. Prepare a chariot. I want to see what's up. And he rode out there, and he asked Jehu, hey, is it peace? Is it peace? And 2 Kings chapter 9. And verse 22, and it says, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? And Joram turned his hands and fled. Skipping to verse 24, and Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down into his chariot. Jehu's already down to business. Jehu's already knocking down some oppressors. Hey, if you even look like the Spirit, if you even fellowship with the Spirit, I'm coming for you. You're going down. Because he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. In verse number 30, it says, when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. There is an oppressive woman. There is an oppressive spirit who had hounded Israel for the ages. Hounded Israel for so long that God had been done with her. God said, no more. So Jezebel painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window, and he didn't even acknowledge the oppressor. He just looked up to the window where she was looking out, and he said, hey, who is on my side? Who? I want to know, tell me, is there anyone else who is sick of this oppression? Is there anybody else who has had enough of what we have been going through? And there's the Bible says that there were two or three eunuchs that looked down and said, hey, we are. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. But Jehu still wasn't done yet, because he says he trod her underfoot. He ran her over with his chariot. Because it was not done just getting the oppressor down. It was not done just killing the oppressor. But hey, I'm going to completely destroy you. You're going to have no more say in my life anymore. Oh, in Jesus' name. As we all stand, Jehu might have been finished right there. Jehu was done where he trod her underfoot. But God wasn't even done yet. God still wasn't done, because in verse 37, before that, they went back. They went to bury Jezebel, and all they looked, and they're like, hey, they went back to Jehu. They said, Jehu, her body's not there. And he, well, what's there? It's her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hand are all that's left. And Jehu looked at him, and I can just see him smiling and say, yeah, this is what came to pass from the prophet Elijah. This is what came to pass. He said that the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Israel. So not only did Jehu run her over with his chariot, but then the dogs came and ate her up, ate all her fresh flesh up, and God used it as dung in the field upon the face of and the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, hey, this is Jezebel. There's not even a tombstone to recognize Jezebel used to live here. There's not even an epitaph saying, hey, look, Jezebel used to be a queen. No, she was wiped out. She was gone. She was never to be remembered ever anymore. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm here to tell you, church, tonight is the night of the oppressor's last rule over you.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All I'm saying is, if you have had enough, it's up to you. If you have had enough, it just takes you getting through of it. It just takes you coming to the altar. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Well, I wonder how many people here are going to be like Joash. Oh, 1, 2, I'm good, preacher. 1, 2, 3, preacher, I'm good. I'm done. Oh, I want it. Can you get there and be like, oh, God, I'm going to consume the oppressor tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus'